Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow patriots. This is Matt Shea broadcasting live from the front lines in the battle for freedom and liberty, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending with prayer, but also moving to action. It's about the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation is part of the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of the kingdom is what is supposed to be preached to the ends of the earth. And what is that? That is living our Christianity beyond the four walls of the church, not just preaching the gospel to all creation, but making disciples of all nations. And the Greek all means all. And showing tangible love to our neighbor. And love, as God talks about in his scripture, as he defines in his scripture, is obeying his commands. Those that love him. So, when we are called beyond the four walls of the church, we are always going to run into opposition. When we bring the gospel and try to make disciples in the darkest corners of this world, like politics, we quite literally are going to face opposition. And it is going to be, in some cases, what human eyes and human hearts would consider severe opposition. But never give up, never back down, because our hope is in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And I want to go through some of the things that are happening today. This brings us to your daily intelligence briefing. And I want to go through a couple things. But first, I want to just do kind of a brief picture on the international front. So Turkey invades northern Syria. And again, you're seeing the expansion of what we would consider the caliphate. You know, they really want to become the next caliphate and Erdogan the next caliph. So just keep that in mind as we're looking at the Middle East. Also on the international front, the coronavirus. And I'm going to link this to the local front as well. There are several credible news articles out there. Newsmax, cited by the Center for Security Policy, talking specifically about the fact that the coronavirus was stolen from a lab in Canada and taken to China, and that that bioweapons lab is right near where the epicenter of the outbreak is. Also, credible videos now coming out of China where entire apartment complexes are having the doors welded shut. Some people apparently leaping to their deaths as a result of that. And also some pretty draconian measures being implemented over there in China right now. Now, I want to mention, too, that I had a whistleblower yesterday, and Krem 2 News apparently broke it last night. The Sacred Heart Medical Center is going to be accepting, as of 2:30 today, apparently, 5 coronavirus patients. We'll see if they actually do end up accepting them in Spokane. So they're not from Spokane, they're in Spokane. In addition to that, Epic Times is reporting that 712 people in Washington State are under observation. Now, I'm going to take a step back. Let's go back to China for a second. If it happens that they are indeed locking down a city of 11 million people, 23 million people total so far, but 11 million people in the heart of its industrial centers, that is going to have a profound effect on the economy. And quite literally, we could see the economy hit hard by this. So I want everybody to kind of understand that when they start locking down the manufacturing sectors of China, literally, nobody going to work, nothing being produced, nothing being transported, that can have a profound effect on the economy. And some people, really surprisingly, a lot of folks kind of have missed this, but that's a very important part of it. All right. Also want to talk about very quickly the debates last night in America by the Democrat Party. Folks, these people are not stupid. They don't just need more information. They literally want to follow an intentional plan to destroy this country. And they're not even really debating core tenets of their own platform that are antithetical to the Constitution in America. It's unbelievable. And you can see it coming from a mile away if you have any sort of experience overseas and the objective observation of countries. The direction these people are headed is toward a socialist dictatorship. And if you don't believe me, you can just listen to Bernie Sanders' campaign worker who on camera effectively admitted that they wanted to return to the gulags and re-education camps. Unbelievable. But it's something that you can't wish away the wolf at the door anymore. We have to get involved. We have to get out there. We have to vote. If people this year do not vote, they are literally, by not voting, literally putting this country on the line and whether freedom and liberty will continue for the next generation. So I would motivate your friends and family. It is that dire. And the stuff, especially in Olympia, which I'm going to go over right now, is incredible. So in Olympia, there were a couple wins, but it's like, you know, we celebrate a victory because we haven't had as many defeats as we thought we were going to have. Let me go through a few of these things. And I'm just going to go through these kind of bad bills. There was a bad bill we were able to kill, House Bill 1376, which would punish healthcare decisions based on conscience. In other words, if you wanted to say that you didn't want to vaccinate your kids based on your conscience, that would all of a sudden be grounds for child abuse and punishment. And so we were able to kill that bill. Another bill regarding human genome editing we were able to kill. And look at, essentially the way the bill was written, they wanted human genome editing. That's what they wanted. And in addition to that, and most amazingly, House Bill 2240 and House Bill 2241, these are the bills that would have banned high-capacity magazines and then also so-called assault weapons, whatever that is. They would have banned those things. Those bills both are dead in the House and in the Senate. They are dead for the session. So that was a huge victory yesterday. We gave a video update live in regards to that as well. A couple other ones I want to highlight. Increasing the price of the Discover Pass. And by the way, they've been passing tax increases consistently, and this is part of it. Even though we have record surpluses again, like hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, it's not a little amount. In addition to that, House Bill 2467, which is single point background checks, that also passed, as well as House Bill 2555, which effectively creates a registry for gun parts. So in other words, they're extending background checks to gun parts in a manner that now creates a de facto registry. On the positive side, House Bill 2519, which would effectively have extended red flag laws to ammunition, is dead. Also, a pretrial red flag law, that bill, House Bill 2569, that one's dead. House Bill 2590, which would have extended red flag laws effectively, is dead. But unfortunately, House Bill 2622 and House Bill 2623, these effectively do expand red flag laws. And in one case, actually says that you now, for second degree animal cruelty, now you could lose your firearms rights, which is a misdemeanor. And that really has never been extended before. The only misdemeanor, fourth degree assault, has a nexus to the use of a firearm. But quite literally, the example was given that if you kick your cat, your neighbor sees that, you get charged with it, then you could lose your firearms rights. It's ridiculous. That is an unusual punishment, and that's what the Constitution, I believe, means by that. A novel punishment that goes contrary to longstanding traditions. You didn't used to lose your firearms rights because of a misdemeanor like that, unless there was a nexus. In other words, a connection between the crime, the harm, and the device. Interestingly, earlier in the day when that was passed, they passed a law that said exactly the opposite, that you did have to have nexus if there was a car involved with the harm and the crime, then yes, the car would be lost. But otherwise, it wouldn't be. So two different pieces of metal, but drastically different outcomes, which tells you what they want to do, and that's disarm the population. Also, on a couple positive notes there, the bill, House Bill 2824 prohibiting circus animals, yes, you heard that right, effectively destroying the circus, is dead. And then House Bill 2829 declaring a climate emergency is dead. That one was one of the scariest, effectively giving the governor power to enforce climate change decrees because there's a, quote, energy emergency, end quote. Now, last year I talked about this, that if we passed a bill expanding the emergency powers, they could potentially come back and use it for a radical environmental agenda. And that's exactly what we see going on. Exactly. Okay, bills to watch for, and then I'm going to get to some good bills too. Bills to watch for. Senate Bill 6288, creating the Office of Firearm Violence Prevention. In other words, an office solely dedicated with your taxpayer money to continue to curtail your right to bear arms. 6288, that's now in the House, it passed out of the Senate. So we're keeping our eyes on that one. They just brought forward a ghost bill, House Bill 2947, which effectively would do all of the other things we just talked about in regards to banning so-called assault weapons and magazines, etc. House Bill 2947. It's interesting. It was dropped in effect after the cutoff. So we're trying to figure out what they are doing with that in regards to a ghost bill on that issue. That's really, you know, you kind of wonder if they're going to try to bring it up later, even though it's past the cutoff, they can try to do that cutting deals. So we're going to keep our eyes on that. And speaking of that, the Democrats killed the bill to stop ghost bills. They killed the bill to reduce your property taxes. They killed the bill to give you freedom of conscience in your choices of health care. They killed the bill that would have banned the use of masks in a crime, aka Antifa. And that's what it was trying to really get at. So apparently they don't want to take on the issue of Antifa or actual terrorists in the United States or people that are committing terrorist acts. Let me be very clear. On video, committing crimes, burning things, assaulting people on video, people that claim to be Antifa. Unreal. And they're doing it with masks on. We're just asking for a bill to stop that. And the Democrats kill it. Democrats kill a bill to stop the mandatory use of smart meters. Democrats kill a bill to stop double taxation. In other words, paying the gas tax and the vehicle miles travel tax. They also kill a bill that would have prohibited the tracking of vehicles for taxes. In other words, stopping the vehicle miles travel tax. They killed that. They killed a bill, House Bill 2941, to repeal the red flag laws. They killed the bill HJM 4017, requesting the Muslim Brotherhood be designated a foreign terrorist organization, despite the clear ties to Hamas, which already is recognized as such. They killed House Joint Memorial 4018, which would have requested an investigation of Marxist organizations like Antifa, the John Brown Gun Club, the Socialist Rifle Association, and Redneck Revolt, which all have had members that have said some things that have advocated violence. And in the case of Redneck Revolt, they published the mini manual of the urban guerrilla online by Carlos Marighella, who was a Brazilian communist implicated in the kidnapping of a U.S. ambassador in 1969. And then you have the John Brown Gun Club. The guy was wearing the hat when he, in several of the media outlets. This is the same guy, William Spronson, who attempted to firebomb a federal facility in Western Washington. Why are they not investigating actual acts of terror in the United States? Groups that have clear links to some of these things. In the case of the Muslim Brotherhood, proven in court in the Holy Land Foundation trial, or where they've published online these things, or the FBI's investigated them. Why are they not investigating them? Well, I think the answer is clear. I think it's clear. And that is because they are label lynching good conservatives. They are trying to destroy good conservatives who understand what the real threat is and are trying to expose it. And so it's my pleasure to bring on our guest today, retired Major General Paul Vallely. He is the chairman of Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, the chairman of Legacy National Security Advisory Group, and a founding member of the Citizens Commission on National Security, prolific writer. General Vallely, it's great to have you back on again. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Matt. It's been a while.
Well, there's a lot going on out there, isn't there? It's crazy.
There sure is. It is crazy.
Well, let's start real quick with the coronavirus. I mean, what should people be thinking about that? And then I want to move into the issue of Wayne Simmons.
Well, I'm not in the medical business, or medical analysis, but I've done three shows on it so far, and there's some scenarios out there that have been created. No definitive answer yet. We have a couple that came out of the University of Winnipeg. I think it's University of Manitoba in Winnipeg or something like that. Two Chinese that went to China to the Wuhan laboratory, which is the top laboratory in China for these kinds of germs, development, analysis, viruses, and so on. It's the top one. And then the wild animal farm is within less than a mile of that laboratory. So then it becomes a question, did it come from a wild animal that infected somebody with the virus, or was it released from the laboratory to somebody and spread from there? The other scenario, conspiracy-type scenarios that are out there, did China, in fact, the Chinese Communist Party, determined to plan and weaponize a virus like this? So those are the scenarios that I've been able to reduce down to three right now, and we still don't know.
It's pretty incredible, isn't it? The coincidences of the epicenter of the outbreak being in such close proximity to the weapons lab, I mean, that just raises natural questions. It's not a conspiracy, it just raises questions. You know, did right. something, in fact, escape?
Yeah, and that could well be. We just don't know at this time. But I can't even imagine the Chinese culture. The people themselves, it's not in their culture to destroy their own people like that. It's been the culture of the leadership since Mao Zedong to destroy their own people, but not the people themselves. And I would not think the people in the laboratories, the medical professionals, would weaponize this. So Yeah, it's certainly bizarre, but so dangerous. I guess we've had the first two off the Diamond Princess cruise have died out of the 90-plus cases they've had on board that ship. But that's the spread of this thing is really what is worrisome.
It is indeed, and I've tracked a little bit of what's happening in Washington State right now. 712 people under observation, and now they're actually transporting patients that are infected to Sacred Heart Hospital here in Spokane, Washington, which has alarmed quite a few people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would ask, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, being prepared and, you know, kind of getting beyond anxious and going out and flipping out over an issue like this. Where should people find the balance of being prepared for something like this? And how realistic is this? This is going to affect not just, folks in the United States of America, but also our economy as well.
Well, I think number one, you've got to really be wary of where you're going to travel to, how you're going to travel, and be prepared. I know I had sepsis on a cruise ship in the Baltic, which I carried for 10 days and is usually very fatal. I then got sick on another cruise ship last year. And so we're not doing any more cruises anymore. But we have to really be careful of where we go. I mean, if you look just at the sicknesses you get just in the airports alone, touching things and the viruses and the bacteria, so that's number one. And to really safeguard yourself when you're in these public domains, and wearing a mask is a good idea. So those are all safeguards until they come up with a vaccine that can counter the coronavirus. And I know they're working hard at that, but as far as I know, Matt, that's not been developed and in use yet.
Well, I think also, you know, the labeling of people, you know, conspiracy theorists for trying to discuss some of this stuff as well, I think is not helpful.
No.
You know, I think we need to have a realistic look at things and at all possibilities.
Exactly.
So I do want to shift gears a little bit. At the beginning of the show, I was talking about how especially constitutional Christian conservatives are quite literally being systematically attacked with a very intentional plan, strategy, and tactics. And one of those people, and folks may not even be aware of this issue, but it was Wayne Simmons. And he used to be, you know, on Fox as a consultant, and there were
right.
there were a lot of things, great things that he did. And then all of a sudden, he gets the target painted on him, and they start coming after him with a vengeance. If you could, tell the listeners a little bit about the story.
Well, it's sort of interesting, and you don't know this, Matt, and many other people don't, but the FBI tried to entrap me in 2016, and I was able to figure out what they were doing. 1 year later, my friend General Flynn was entrapped in the White House by a Comey-motivated interview. And Wayne Simmons, who was on the Citizens Commission for National Security with me, then with two operatives in the CIA, I won't mention their names, but they contacted me and wanted to take down Wayne Simmons. Wayne had worked in a very covert program with the CIA as a contractor. And so General McInerney and I went to bat for Wayne Simmons. He did serve 3 years, by the way, in federal prison. He's out now, and a group of us from the Citizens Commission on National Security knows it was tied back to the Obama administration, back to the Clintons, and the deep state operatives in the CIA. And so that's why we wrote the article in the paper to try to bring justice to the Wayne Simmons issue.
So what did he know, or what was he going to expose, that they would expend that much effort and political capital to lock up what arguably is an American hero?
Well, it's not a matter of what he was going to expose. It was the two CIA guys, plants operatives, who wanted to take him down because of his exposure on Fox News. And that's where I met Wayne, was on Fox News. We did some shows together when I was with Fox News for 8 years. So it was really more of a takedown, Matt. And that's what they tried to do with me and what they're doing to General Flynn.
So this is part, who do you think's calling, I'll just be blunt. Who do you think's calling the shots on something like this? Because we're starting to see it, not just with President Trump, but also Congressman Steve King, Wayne Simmons. It's happening now in Washington State with yours truly. We're seeing, and it follows a very, very similar pattern. Who do you think is really behind this? I mean, who is calling the shots on these things?
I think it all emanated from the White House and Obama.
And as Americans, yeah. It was our president, right? My goodness.
And yeah, absolutely. Well, the takedown, everything. I mean, if you look at the Russian collusion myth and everything that's gone on, we know it was a takedown by several people, came from the White House and General Clapper and Brennan. That's where all of as we track it back, this is where it all emanated from. This was a planned operation to take down President Trump and others that were connected to him. And hopefully Attorney General Barr is going to be able to come out and indict these people, put them on trial, and we're really going to find out what's going on. And we keep waiting for that. We keep wanting Attorney General Barr and Durham, come on, let's get out there and indict these people. And here you take a Roger Stone, put him in prison for 40 months for people like versus people like Andrew McCabe, who lied several times, and he's got free right now. But I think they're going to get McCabe in the end when Durham releases his report.
Well, I hope that something is done. And I know a lot of people have expressed to me frustration that, nobody has been prosecuted truly yet. And even though that there's a lot of evidence that there have been very clear wrongdoing, if not unethical, very clearly criminal in a couple of cases. And it seems like no one is, getting held accountable for these things. And, with Wayne Simmons, they came under a false pretense of investigating a financial crime. It was innocent. He wants to cooperate. And then they set him up.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, sometime I'll tell you in detail how they try to set me up. And they try to do it here in Montana. So, it's horrible what the deep state has done over a number of decades, trying to take down certain individuals and groups within the United States. By this group of people who wants to socialize and communize America. And look at the Democratic candidates. Look at the likes of Schiff and shit. Did I call him Schiff or shit? I'm sorry. And the others involved in the impeachment farce, the Russian hoax, the Ukrainian hoax. I mean, you couldn't write this in Hollywood. I don't know anybody could write this in Hollywood any better than these people who put together a plan to really change America forever. And believe me, not for the good.
No, not for the good at all. And really to destroy everything that, we hold dear and that the Constitution means what it says. The thing that really, as I was reading through what happened to Wayne Simmons, was this, that this occurred before the 2016 election. So there was a plan already moving before the elections in 2016 to really try to cut off anybody that might, they would consider be harmful to Hillary Clinton. and her presidential aspirations. I mean, they really went after folks ahead of time. And did this stem, do you think, from Benghazi? Is that, you know, the people that really voiced opposition to Benghazi, is that really what the catalyst for this was, or was there something even deeper than that?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, I was on the Citizens Commission for Benghazi, and Trey Gowdy, we gave him everything that we had obtained. Now we're working on a book, hopefully it'll be published, which surrounds that whole Benghazi thing, other than the 13 hours of the before, during, and after. And I've worked on that for a year with Charles Woods on Benghazi, the father of Tyrone. Woods, who was one of the four killed. So it all tracks back to the Clintons. And on that day that Clinton and Gerald Dempsey and Secretary Panetta testified in front of Congress, when they lied to Congress and the American people that we didn't have the assets to conduct a rescue operation, nor the intelligence. I have interrogated now over 10 people. I'll be able to, happy to send you the report of people who were on duty that night that were tracking the assets in the Mediterranean, the air, special ops, drones. We had the full capability to be on site with in the second hour of that 13 hours. And the stand down order came not from the Defense Department per se. It was initiated at the White House through Hillary Clinton, who took over the operation, and the Defense Department followed and issued the stand down order. Criminal.
Criminal. Was Simmons a part of any of that with Benghazi? Did he have anything to do with Benghazi?
Yes, he was on the original Citizens Commission for Benghazi. I brought him into it. Yes, absolutely.
So, and they tried
that
to...
That was 2014, 2015, somewhere in that area.
So effectively with Wayne Simmons, he's one of the guys that's targeted. They try to claim that he was not a contractor with the CIA. They try to smear him with that, even though they realize that he's innocent. They try to smear him with that original issue and then entrap him to try to send him to jail for what, a fraud and something else as well. Can you tell a little bit about
that? Things. Well, they really got him on, some of the investment deals or something like that. But they really didn't get him at all as far as establishing that he wasn't a CIA operative contractor. They were getting him on other things. And that's what they do. That's what they did with Roger Stone. That's what they did with the General Flynn. They try to get you on other things, and they entrap you. And they try to entrap me on a conspiracy against Hillary Clinton. But I was able, with my own people, to ascertain before the second meeting that they were trying to entrap me. So I've been through that game with them. I know the game they play and how they set you up.
So what would be your advice then for people that are trying to expose, corruption, trying to hold people accountable that are really undermining our country and our republic? What would be your advice to folks to, be able to withstand some of these attempts to set up and smear? I mean, my goodness, I've been smeared in international news now.
Sure, yeah.
And even though it's been conclusively disproven, they don't seem to care about the truth. Actually, I know they don't care about the truth. What can people do? How can people stand up to this stuff?
Well, if you're in a position of responsibility, you might be a political appointee. You could be a member, an officer in the armed forces. You could be within different organizations. And what happens is the FBI will come and want to interview you on something. So if the FBI ever contacts you, at least until we can clean it up, be very careful about engaging in any conversation with them that pertains to you. Now, if you're reporting a criminal activity or something, a kidnapping, I mean, that's something different. But if they're setting up a meeting with you to interview you on something, you better make sure you have a lawyer with you and you don't say anything and let yourself get entrapped. And that's what happened with General Flynn. But it didn't happen to me because I could sense in my second meeting with them that I was being set up, and we cut the meeting off. And, of course, they ended type of pursuant of anything with me after that, after they knew that I caught on to them.
You know, that's a profound statement, because what you're alluding to is that the counterintelligence apparatus in America is broken, or at least in some quarters, not trustworthy. I mean, that's a profound statement, an implication for our national security in our country.
Well, and that's why the lower ranking FBI agents, I mean, they get orders like in the military, Matt, go investigate so-and-so. And that comes down many times from the top. That's why, I mean, it's not the lower ranking agents out there that are doing investigations that are initiating this. They're being told to do it. It's targeted, if I may use that word.
Well, and then that again brings us back to the question of, when is Attorney General Barr going to hold these people accountable? I presume, and you know, I'd like you to comment on this, I presume he's been given evidence of some of these orders that have been given that really fly in the face of not just policy and protocol, but actual existing law.
He has it all. He has it all, and Durham has everything on the criminal side of things. And so we've been waiting for 6 months now for some kind of indictments. We're waiting every day. And what we're saying, Attorney General Barr, do a favor for the American people, support our president, and don't say that, come out with the press and say, well, because of his tweets, I can't do my job. That's total BS. When you think about it, you can do your job. The president can tweet all he wants to, but you still have to do your job. And by the way, Attorney General Barr, you're not independent. The Justice Department is not independent. They're part of the executive branch. They work for the president. Now, the cases that are being tried have to be independent. You know what I mean? As they're tried, they can't be rigged or dictated to. They have to stand on their own. But the agency itself, the Department of Justice, the FBI, they work for the President of the United States, and he can fire them, he can do anything he wants, and he can tweet whatever he wants to. Now, if they're influenced by it, that's their own weakness. It's not the president's, my opinion.
I think that's a very good point. Well, and the reason he has to use Twitter is because he doesn't get a fair shake in the mainstream media, so he goes around them directly to the people. That's exactly what a president should be doing, is communicating directly with the people.
Yeah, and he's allowed to have his own opinion. Plus, he is the chief officer when it comes to the United States, just like he's commander-in-chief of the military. He's really the chief officer when it comes to justice. And he sees injustice that has been done with many of the people that we've observed, at least the last 3 or 4 years. And President understands what's going on. So he's communicating with the American people. But I think Barr really supports him. You get a lot of stuff that's distorted in the news, the fake news, as we call it. But we want Barr to, we're really pushing a lot of us to have him come out soon. Stop waiting. We need to indict people. They need to be tried. They need to go to jail. Because we have had sedition, we've had treason, we've had a coup planned against the takedown of a duly elected president. So,
and that's not hyperbole. That's exactly what happened. And I think that that's why a lot of Americans now, especially ones that have never voted before, are starting to get off the couch and get involved, which has actually been a tremendous blessing, seeing some of that happen here in Washington State. And I know President Trump's rally in New Jersey had 25% of the people that showed up there, as I understand it, had never voted before. So that actually, I think, bodes well. What do you think is going to happen here in the 2020 election?
Oh, I think the Demwits, as I call them, and we saw them on the podiums last night. they buried old Mike Bloomberg. I mean, you had some of these idiots, these socialist communists, they're burying a billionaire like Mike Bloomberg. And they completely buried the guy last night, and he stood there and didn't know what to do. And, of course, Trump would bury any of them in a debate, that's for sure. But they're totally incompetent. I mean, we can't even figure out how crazy to the extent the Democratic Party is right now, but they're not headed in the right direction. Trump will win with a vast majority, and his base is growing, and the American people, even the Democrats, are switching over. And certainly he's getting more blacks and Latinos to support the president because of jobs and so on. So, but they're going to continue to attack him. But he's tough. He just keeps executing things every day and making sure that he does stuff for the American people. And that's why I'm a big supporter of his.
Yeah, he loves America, no question about it. What do you think is going to happen with General Flynn? Where do you think that this ends up for him?
I think he'll be pardoned. I think Roger Stone will be pardoned. I think more people have been treated unjustly by the FBI and by the Department of Justice that emanated from the Brenner, Clapper, Obama conundrum that they created. The president understands. He sees through all that. But he's going to let the justice take its course under Attorney General Barr.
Which is what he should do, no question. And it just can't happen soon enough, I know, for me.
Exactly. Right. Hey, by the way, what do you hear over there? I hear about 8 counties in Oregon are trying to separate from Oregon now and be a part of Idaho. And then I heard there's 10 other counties in Virginia that want to disassociate from the state of Virginia and join West Virginia. Have you heard much of that going on?
I have, actually. And in fact, some of those folks have started to do that and are emulating the Liberty State movement that we have here in Washington to break away Eastern Washington from Western Washington at the Cascade Mountain Range, or maybe including some of the rural counties in Southwest Washington. People are sick of it. They're sick of, you know, Portland or Seattle trying to run their lives and, you know, massive gun control and everything. And it's just a simple process. The founding fathers left it to us in Article 4, Section 3, and why not do it, right? I mean, that's really what I would love to see it. And the founding fathers believe that that mechanism would allow for better representation of the values, tradition, culture, and heritage of a geographic area, and so be it. I think it's exactly the right thing to do, and I think we're going to see more of this happening in this country over the next 10 years.
By the way, I just did a radio show from Edmonton, Canada. I've been doing some radio shows out of Canada. Things are really a mess up there. Now we have Alberta wants to secede from Canada and become a part of the United States. The Albertans are much like the Montanans, you know, and I'm only 50 miles from Alberta, but it's sort of interesting. Have you heard of the pig farm up there?
I have not, no.
Oh, you got to look into this. So this is bigger than Epstein. There's a farm outside of Vancouver where 28 women have been, I think 28 women were killed in a sex operation, much like Epstein. And they say somebody by the name of Geistra, G-U-I-S-T-R-A, who's a billionaire, founded, I think, Landmark Productions or some film company, but he's had Clinton up there. They've been doing sex trafficking with young females and taken them to this farm. And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police failed to investigate it, did not want to. So it appears a lot of the members of the RCMP are just like our operatives at FBI and CIA.
That is incredible. Story. Wow. I'm going to take a look deep into that. I'm sure that's going to get me a whole bunch of emails now. So that's great. I wanted to give you an opportunity very quickly before we wrap up to talk about Stand Up America U.S. Foundation and what it is and how people can get more involved, where they can read articles about you and from you.
Well, thank you. We formed Stand Up America U.S. in 2005. We do a lot regarding issues in national security, primarily. That's our forte. We've funded missions into the Middle East. I was the only senior officer that's been in Syria, in Aleppo. I went in 2012 and 2013 during the uprising over there. at the request of the people who were trying to disengage from the Assad government. Trips into Paris in support of the Iranian dissidents. So we get involved in a lot of different things as a non-government organization, but they can look at our website, which is standupamericaus.org. We put out a newsletter every 2 weeks. It goes across the country and overseas. And if you want to get that, you can contact us at standupamericausa1@gmail.com. And then we're looking forward to Lincoln Reagan dinner over in Pasco in April, which I'll be speaking there. And yes, you're introducing me, as I understand.
That is correct. You're going to be the keynote speaker, and it's already causing a stir, which I love. Keeps people on their toes. I love it. So,
is it good? Is it a good stir or a bad stir?
It's a good stir. I don't know what the liberal media is doing. They always do their own thing. I don't really pay attention to them. But yeah, no, it's a good stir. So,
yeah, excellent. Well, we hope to get a good turnout. I'm doing Las Vegas 2 weeks before that, so that ought to be interesting.
Well, General Valley, I want to thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and keep up the fight. Thank you for the great information and the insight, and love to have you on again soon.
Okay, Matt. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right. Blessings. Retired Major General Paul Valley, Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, and he also has done a lot, and I mean a lot, in exposing what the Obama administration tried to cover up with Benghazi, tried to do to Wayne Simmons, tried to do to General Flynn. You know, this stuff is real. And understand, there are folks that are accomplished leaders, heroes in America that are indeed trying to do something. They just don't seek out a lot of media attention and everything else. And if they do get media attention from the mainstream media, it's usually negative. So you have somebody like General Valley, who not only is chairman of the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, but also chairman of the Legacy National Security Advisory Group, founding member of the Citizens Commission on National Security, that really is at the front lines of trying to preserve our republic. So I hope that encourages you greatly, because some of the things that have been going on, in Washington State have been going on secretly in Washington, D.C., too. You know, some of these similar tactics and strategies to try to destroy conservatives that are trying to call them out. And, you know, it's interesting that all of it goes back to Benghazi, by the way. It's so fascinating that what happened with General Flynn, what happened with General Valley, as he just talked about, what happened with Wayne Simmons, that there's this commonality of Benghazi and this Citizens Commission on Benghazi particularly. And it's also interesting that this stuff happened before the 2016 election. So they were planning before. And it didn't matter if Trump won or not. They were going to go after folks that were part of this. And if you get a chance, in fact, I'm going to post this article as well on the Wayne Simmons story, the true story about what happened to him and the setup that he happened to him. And the fact he had actually had to spend jail time, even though he ended up proving his bona fides as a CIA contractor. But understand what happened, that over a decade on Fox News, he unleashed relentless attacks on the left and called them out. And they finally went after him. So I don't want to make it sound like it's just Benghazi. It's the pattern. When you call the left out, when you call out the Marxists and you expose them for who they really are, expose the fact that nobody's investigating Antifa, the John Brown Gun Club, Socialist Rifle Association, and Redneck Revolt, when they should be, when there is probable cause, it looks like, to do that, and instead, they try to paint Christian conservatives and constitutionalists with a narrative. If you buy into that narrative, you are actually aiding and abetting those that want to destroy the republic. Let's say this again. If you buy into the narrative of evil, you are actually aiding and abetting the destruction of the republic. It's that simple. And we are coming into, I believe, a valley of decision in this country. A valley of decision where there is no more middle ground. You can't sit on the fence anymore. You have to either choose liberty or communism. Freedom or socialism. Oh, but communists aren't socialists. That's not... You know, I hear these ridiculous arguments. The fact of the matter is, they both follow Karl Marx. And Karl Marx called himself a socialist. Vladimir Lenin called himself a socialist. Because it came from this whole thing came from the social circle in France. That's literally the name of it. So if you don't understand that in the history, then it may not make any sense. And Lenin in particular talked about the fact of how this is a gradual transformation, that socialists will gradually transform into communists. It's this incremental step. Antonio Gramsci, 1915, talked about this long march through the institutions to gradually corrupt the schools and the universities and the media and the churches. Now we're seeing people have infiltrated the Southern Baptist Convention and trying to turn that into a social justice league. And look, Christians want to help other people. It's a question of what should government be doing? And the fact of the matter is, there is writing after writing out there on how socialism leads to tyranny. And so when Trump said the socialists will not win, that is a direct in your face, no, the socialists are not going to win to these groups and the people, more importantly, behind the scenes who are pulling the strings. Interestingly enough as well, they will come after people that blow the whistle on corruption. And I want to give you a specific example. In China, and this is coming to us from Front Page Mag, in China, this article by Robert Spencer, the doctor who warned about the coronavirus, Li Wenliang, there's a doctor in Wuhan, China, who warned about the coronavirus, has died of the virus after becoming, quote, an enemy of the people in China for sounding that warning, end quote. He became kind of a national hero. And so he was arrested with seven others on charges of spreading rumors. And then he dies of the virus. I wonder where he got that. Fascinating. As Christians, we always need to do the right thing and trust in the Lord and make the Lord our trust. And all of the things that we're facing, all of it can get really overwhelming, but focus on being in His presence during these times. And where there's a spirit of heaviness, we've been given the gift of being able to praise to lift that spirit of heaviness. So if you're feeling heavy, start praising the Lord. All the things in your life that praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Get some worship music on. Praise the Lord. Because we're already victorious. All the things that they're throwing against me. In fact, today, apparently, some Democrats wanted people to sign a letter against me. And don't worry about that stuff. And there were a bunch of lies in the letter. I mean, demonstrably false statements. It was incredible, actually. Incredible that they would try to say that despite all of the things that are out there conclusively disproving them. But... And the fact three national news articles have been out there, but that's not the point. The point is this is going to happen wherever God puts us. And that's all of you that are listening to this radio show. Wherever God puts you, you very likely will face opposition. But in Luke 10:19, he says that we can tread upon that. We've been given the authority to tread upon it. How close are we to the Lord? and actually pray that. Tread upon it. Pray it. Claim that authority. It's a promise of God that was given to us. And don't get into this funk of, you know, it can never change. It can, and it is actually changing. We are seeing a dramatic change, and God has put us here in this time for this season, for this reason. God wants to change the world through each one of us if we are available and we are willing. We have to be both. We have to be both. Get your friends and family out to vote. Get them registered to vote. Get them educated. And if you are listening to the mainstream media and still believing what they're saying, I don't care who they're even talking about anymore. If you are listening to them and still believing what they're saying, you're wrong. I had a friend the other day. They're still reading the Socialist Review, for goodness sakes, after it's been conclusively disproven multiple times, factually inaccurate, like dozens of times, literally. And just spewing some just really hateful stuff. And people are still reading it. Why are you reading it? Get educated. There is a solution out there. It's called FeedMe, F-E-E-D-M-E. You can create your own news feed from all the different internet sources that you would like to read. It doesn't get slammed by Facebook, doesn't get slammed by Google algorithms. You get the news that you need, the truth. And all the other garbage spewed out from CNN and everybody else, you don't have to read it. Or there maybe you want to read it a little bit. You can have a separate feed for that. So check it out. It's a new app on your phone, FeedMe. It's a great way to get the truth and educate your friends and family. This is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.